Hey.
Going down, yeah.
All right. Looks like everybody is here. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. I think. I don't know about this. No, let's stay this way.
My classmate who's working on the project with me, Jim, he's joining us for the interview.
Okay.
It's nice to meet you, Miss Taylor.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, so how are you doing today?
I'd sit in and be a little... I'm sorry, Tanya, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, it's Friday, so that's a perk. I got my my second COVID vaccination yesterday, so I'm feeling it today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have any side effects from mine.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Thankfully, it's just being groggy. It's not a whole lot of, not flu-like symptoms. So that's a perk.
And it's Friday, so you can.
Yeah. So take the day a little bit easier.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so did you just want to dive right on into some of these questions?
I guess. You're in charge.
All right. So first question, what's your earliest or favorite memory of growing up?
Oh, I thought about that. I don't know that I have a favorite one, but I am the eldest or was the eldest of nine. So mainly family, just, and I had seven brothers, so they torment sisters. You know, it was just that there was always fun times, happy times at home.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Seven brothers, that's a lot. I have five older sisters and no brothers, so I have no idea what it's like to have brothers. Can you elaborate on that for me?
Now, during the years, I decided that I was happy I had brothers rather than sisters. They seemed to cause less conflict. They certainly got along with each other very well. And they let me be the big sister, so I kind of like that. Yeah, I decided that brothers were easier to get along with.
You know, I think that's probably fair, having five older sisters. I could see that being the case.
Right.
So what was your neighborhood like?
Well, as I told you in the when I first talked to you, mm-hmm. I was born in an area different from where the house that was moved was. When I was born, we lived at 4110 Turner, which is north of Natural Bridge. I thought about it as far as school was concerned. I walked to school, and I think it's about 10 blocks. And kids now would think that was horrible, but it wasn't too bad. I didn't think it was bad at all. It was fun, and I liked school, so it was okay. So that was 4110 Turner, and I was there until my family moved into the house that caused all the stink with the city. And I was 10 years old then. So that was 1945 when we moved into the house. It was located at 2530 North Market. So.
What school did you go to?
Grade school, I went to Simmons, which is where I walked to. And then for high school, I went to Sumner, and there too is a story that doesn't really relate to the area, because it took some while for me to get this straight in my head what happened, but the schools were segregated. Number one, that was a big issue. So Simmons was the closest school for African Americans at the time, and when when Daddy bought the other house and we needed to move. It was in summertime, I think, but when we moved in there. In order for me to go to the school that was closest to the new home, I would have to leave Simmons. And at that time, and I'm really testing my memory, But the schools allowed you to do something they call double promotions. You could skip a grade. And at that time, I was ready to skip a grade. Had I changed to the new school, they wouldn't have allowed me to do this. So if you can imagine a 10-year-old, when they're saying, no, you're not going to, if you move, you're not going to get your double promotion, which was a real biggie. And my parents were kind enough to get whatever permission they had to get in order for me to stay at Simmons. And the only stipulation was they had to pay for my transportation. There was no busing you to where you wanted to go when there was a school in walking distance. So therefore I stayed at Simmons and graduated from there. And of course, all the kids from Simmons were going to Sumner because that's what the school was for them. From where I lived, I should have gone to Vashon. So there we went back, my parents, and you know, I didn't, when you're a kid, you don't think that you're putting anybody through anything special, they just do for you. So they had to go back to the Board of Education again to get permission for me to go to Sumner rather than Vashon. And that was because all my friends were there and I didn't know anybody at Vashon. And so that's how I went to Sumner. And besides that, my parents had both graduated from Sumner. So I think they, looking back on it, I think that that was another motivation for them to let me go to Sumner. So I went to Sumner, graduated from Sumner.
Cool. So what was your favorite subject in school?
I don't know if I had a favorite. I do like to read, so probably anything where they gave me a book that I had to read. I remember some history classes, mainly because of the instructor more so than the class. I can't say that I had a favorite, although I did take something. I had public speaking and I like that, right, because I was always kind of mouthy. And I think there was something in like drama or something, not that I was very good at that, but you know, you got to put on a class play. So that's about it for school.
So how did the NGA approach you about moving your home?
The NGA really didn't do that. It was the city that approached me about moving the house. And that was because the NGA needed a new place to go, and St. Louis City was one of the places they were looking for. And I learned during my protests that they had, the city had to own the property before they were eligible for the, to bid for the NGA. And so the city was the one that was trying to buy all these properties so they'd have a plot of land that they could say was available for the NGA. So it was their decision to approach me with moving the house. The first thing was to buy all the houses, just buy them. They belong to the city. They could do whatever they wanted with them. And many of us in the neighborhood did not agree with that. But over time, I believe I was the only one that still said, my house is not for sale. And so as to try to resolve that, because I had no idea that you could pick the house up and move it, number one. I couldn't quite imagine at that time the size of this house that they were going to pick it up. But the city contacted the movers and they asked me, you know, if I would be agreeable. And they came to the house, brought the movers with them, who assured me that yes, indeed, they could pick the house up and move it. And so it was the city rather than the NGA. Once they had ownership of all that plot of land, then they could successfully bid for the NGA to take that, take St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that you protested. What was the protest like?
Oh, well, it went on for several years because I wasn't the only one that protested the NGA or the city taking the land. I think that the, you know, it's been a while and my memory's not the best, especially on numbers, but I believe there were 43 families living in, actually living in the area that they needed. And the majority of them didn't want to leave. Their homes were paid for. They were small homes. Elderly people like myself didn't want to start over. And then there were those that were perfectly happy. You know, their family said, fine, sell it to the city, let's get out of there. Or some I knew that their children moved them. That was, they thought that was the perfect opportunity to get mom to stop living by herself or whatever. All kinds of things went on. But I, and there were several others that, you know, stood our ground for quite a while before they were convinced. And there were a couple of churches and a few businesses. So it wasn't just one or two people.
Did they move any other houses or just yours?
I believe mine was the only house that was moved. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were there any issues with installing the house after it got to its new location? Issues like foundation, electrical, water, or did it go pretty smoothly?
No. The lot that I'm on, there was a house here, a building here. So, and okay. The city tells, according to them, they had to get permission to tear that place down, number one. So they had to remove the building. And they did an excellent job. Actually, the foundation is probably better because it's newer than the 100-year-old foundation it was sitting on. So definitely don't have any complaints in
right.
that. Right. And then everything else, they just cut it off and reconnected. Some of my electrical improved, actually, because there too, it was, you know, fixed partially and over the years. So all that had to be redone and brought up to codes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there was no issues in those areas.
What was the actual move like?
I don't know if I've got a word for the move. The funny part, now this is funny, I did ask the movers if I could sit on the front porch and ride with it. Of course, they told me no, not at all. I had kicked up such a stink about not taking my house. I thought that'd be funny, but excuse me, but that was a no. I guess for the city, it was quite a big deal too. They did it on Sunday. They had to notify the neighbors that it was gonna be going on. They had to take down some wires, block traffic on Jefferson, which is a major street, for the move. And it was a spectacle for the city, you know, the photographers, people came from out of town. I do have some cousins that live out of town that had grown up in the house as well. And so they came to see the house moved. And then just curiosity seekers. Many people pass now and wave at me and tell me that they saw it. You know, it was something to see. It was very slow, as you can imagine. And it was extremely cold that day. That was another thing. It was really, really cold. But yeah, I think most of the city area knew that it was going on.
How long did it take?
I'm not sure. A number of hours. And then when it got to the location, they did not immediately put it on the foundation. It sat in, and that took a week, it sat in 22nd Street, so that street was blocked at St. Louis Avenue for at least a week. And I've forgotten what they told. Maybe they were still, there's a certain length of time that the concrete has to cure. They had to make sure that the foundation was fine before they actually put the building on top of it. So they just brought it down here on that day, set it in 22nd, which blocked that street, and we waited for them to actually move it over there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you able to visit the original location, or has that kind of gone under construction for NGA?
It's under construction, but my new location backs up to that. The alley behind my new location is the border of the NGA's property. So I just see all the construction, all the digging, all the whatever they're doing over there. And because the house is so tall, if I'm on the third floor, I can look out of those back windows all the way to Cass. I can see traffic on Cass Avenue. So, but there are no neighbors, you know. I have new neighbors on St. Louis Avenue. Yeah, so I do know a few people. I have, you know, kept in touch with a couple that were, you know, they were moved or whatever, bought new properties. So, but there's no visiting. It's all fenced in.
Are they happy with the choices that they made, or do you know if they have regrets about selling the property?
The only one that, like I said, I know close enough is happy. She, because she got a newer place, the house she moved, bought was newer than what she had. And I believe she has an inside garage, which, you know, is better. She had a garage parked on the street. So she's happy with that, her spot. And she, you know, was pleased with whatever arrangement she was able to make with the city. Other than that, I don't know. I do know one guy that lived on my block. I haven't been in touch with him, but he was looking forward to the fact that they said they were going to build housing in the area. He still worked and he rode public transportation. He just liked his lifestyle in this area. And so he was looking forward to the promise of new housing that would be within his price range coming into the area. I was not convinced of that in the beginning, and certainly it hasn't happened so far. Others, I think, are okay. And some, I don't know, they just, you know, like, as I say, there were older people. They've gone all different places.
Do you know anyone in the area who hopes to work with the NGA?
No, not personally, but, you know, there'd have to be like my grandkids' age or something. That would be those that I know are looking for retirement. They're not looking to work anywhere. But I'm sure there may be a few that, you know, even though they're employed, they might be interested in something close to home, or, you know, who knows.
Yeah. Jim, did you have any questions?
I had a couple. Yeah. You mentioned your elementary school earlier, and I believe when I was watching the video of the moving of the house, you might have told the interviewer you weren't sure if the original schoolhouse is still standing. Do you know for a fact if Simmons Elementary is still there or not?
The building is still there. It is not in use. And I believe, okay, you know, the Board of Education is talking about closing a lot of buildings right now, too.
Right. So
there may be some.
That's something that's come up in our.
Right. I believe there is some motion to keep it because it is one of the very old schools. And okay, at some time in the history of that school, it must have served as a college edge. You know, my father was born here in St. Louis. And so they went to the St. Louis schools. And some part, and I'm not sure what it was, at some point, they were in Simmons after high school. So I'm sure there's a history of Simmons that they're trying to preserve that building, but it's not being used by the board right now. Still standing.
Related to that, do you have any family members or, you know, the family members of close friends who are still in the St. Louis Public School District, either as students or, you know, as teachers or administrators?
Oh. I'm not sure. I have a huge family, so that's that question. Mm-hmm. My mother was one of 12, so I've got tons of first cousins, and by now I'm down to third cousins. So I did have an aunt that at one time taught in the public school, in the St. Louis public schools. I don't think I have any relatives that are connected with the public schools right now. At one time, I had a cousin that was on the board. Eddie Davis was on the Board of Education, but he isn't presently. I don't know. People seem to have moved. Everybody went to the county. You know, when you bought a house, you left the city. We have very few relatives that live in the city. So they're not part of the public school system.
Right. I wondered if you could speak to a little bit about, you know, concerns during that brief period where the public school district was unaccredited a couple of years ago. And I believe it got its full accreditation back now. But I also wondered if you could speak to how some of the schools like your former elementary school are being kind of closed down, you know, in the effort to consolidate the public school system.
The only thing I know that would relate to that at all is that I was a member of OASIS in their tutoring program. And so I tutored at Lexington, which is a public school in the city. And at that time I found out that individual schools could be accredited regardless of whether the whole district was. And so Lexington was accredited and had a big sign up on the building stating that. And so that was news to me. I thought if you lost accreditation, it was the whole district. But I found out that that was not true. So I don't really know. There are a number of buildings in the area that are just vacant. There's one, I don't know what the name of that school is, but it's on Natural Bridge down around probably Garrison or Glass, something like that. There's a building sitting there that was, I think it was a high school. From the size of it, I would say it was a high school. So I don't have any answers for what the school district should do. But I understand how people are, you know, complaining that, and also I know that there are fewer kids in some of those areas. So as I say, I don't have the answers. Do we bus them or whatever we do? Mm-hmm.
That's very helpful. I didn't know about the individual schools being accredited. That's something that had not come up in our research yet. But yeah, I was driving around the area getting pictures for this documentary last week, and I did drive past a few vacant elementary mm-hmm. schools, very historic looking buildings.
Right, right.
One that we had read about last semester was Dessalines School, which was one of the oldest. The building's unfortunately no longer standing. I did get a shot of the lot. I think it's a truck repair shop that's operating there now. But let's see. Unrelated to that, I also wanted to ask you if you knew anybody who had been treated at Homer G. Phillips Hospital when that was still up and running, or if you possibly knew anybody who's living there now that it's assisted living.
I don't know anyone personally that's in there since it's assisted living. It was like the only hospital in the area, you know, when I was young. So, and I could not swear to it as to where, I was gonna say that probably some of my brothers were born there, but I would have to actually look at the records to tell you that. I know that I wasn't. I was born in, at the time it was called St. Louis Maternity, which is now part of the Barnes Jewish complex. It's the same building, but because of the segregation, it was a separate entity. So I like I say, probably just what was the norm that several of my brothers may have been born at Homer Phillips, but it had a wonderful reputation all the time. I do know a young lady that, and I learned this through a class I took this winter, there, I took a class on an area called the Ville, and they were talking about Homer Phillips, which is, you know, the fact that it was there and whatever, and it's still standing. And I know a young lady that went to the nursing school. She graduated from Homer Phillips Nursing School. And I called her to make sure that my memory was correct. And she said that, yes, she did. She told me the year, but I've forgotten. She said that there are about 10 of them that stay in touch with each other. They graduated from that nursing school. And I believe that building is still there as well. There's a group that are, you know, is trying to revive the Ville. And so I learned a few things there as far as what was left in the area. I did visit when the Homer Phillips first was converted or changed to senior living or whatever they've called it. I was there for some meeting or something and met a young lady who lived there, and she volunteered to show me her apartment. And I thought that they did a good job. The building was, you know, very nice. It's colorful. It's paintings around. It wasn't the normal, you know, senior citizen complex. That made me happy.
You've mentioned that the school system was segregated and that the hospitals were too. Mm-hmm. What other types of legal segregation existed in St. Louis at the time?
I'm sorry, I missed your question.
What other types of segregation were there in St. Louis at the time?
Theaters. I remember that. I remember more so when they opened, when it broke. You know, as long as we were doing whatever, it just was the norm, especially to a kid. You know, that's just what there were theaters that were African American or Black theaters. You know, when people just tell you that, you just kind of go along. You don't think about it when you're a child. But looking back, then I can tell that the theaters were. I was trying to think of anything that we would have gone to that actually was, there was an amusement park. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it burned down. I know that much. I remember that. And it was segregated. It was a big thing. I can't remember the name of it, but there was a fire and it burned. You probably won't have any problem. The Highlands, I think it was called the Highlands.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
You're testing my memory.
Yeah. Were there any areas where integration was allowed and the segregation wasn't the norm?
You know, I really can't think of because the neighborhoods were segregated, it would be pretty hard to think of something specific that would stand out. For instance, when we first moved into the house on North Market, we were the only Black family. And so we didn't think of it as being, you know, that we were any different from anybody else who lived in the neighborhood. My neighbors were very admirable. Like the kids, my mother made sure we stayed in our own yard and didn't pester the neighbors, whatever. But I didn't think of it as being different. Maybe other people might have. And then it wasn't too long before, which is still happens now, that the neighborhood began to change. The white people began to move as they, you know, people, the scare tactics run people out. And then as people left, then the commercial things leave too. Like originally, down at 23rd and North Market, there were stores. There was a grocer and there was some kind of little store. We called it a dry goods store. I don't remember. They sold fabric and I don't know what else, knickknacks, things like that. And there was a drug store. Anything you needed was in the area. And those gradually left as the color of the people in the neighborhood changed. So, but I can't think of anything that was where there was no segregation. I remember that the Cardinals. I guess you could go to the game, but I'm not a fan, so. And the only thing I remember about that specifically was that my husband, who's deceased now, had a bad feeling about the Cardinals because he remembered sometime in their history when they had a ladies' day or something, and he said they did not honor the Black women. So he was unhappy with the Cardinals. From, you know, how people carry a grudge for years and years and years. Anytime you mention the Cardinals, that's what he thought of. So I don't know. I couldn't tell you when it happened or whatever, but he said that they did not include, I don't know where they gave them gifts. I don't know what they did to honor them, but the Black women were not included. I remember when the Fox was segregated, we did not go to the Fox. Can't think of anything specific that I would have tied to attend and couldn't, or that was where we both went. And this was maybe Forest Park, and I don't think there was any segregation in the park. You went to the parks, it didn't matter which park you went to. That's probably it.
How did you meet your husband?
Through a classmate that, you know, lived in the area. And it's really funny because I was only 18 when I met him, and he was older and had a car, which was a rare thing among us. So she wanted me to meet him so we'd have a car and he could take us where he wanted to go. And that's how I met him.
What's his name?
I'm sorry?
What's his name?
His name is Eugene. He's deceased.
Eugene. How long were you married?
48 years.
Congrats. Yeah. That's a long time.
That's a long time. Yeah, yeah, it is. Right.
Did you have a favorite spot in the old neighborhood? And you already answered for us, you know, that you can't necessarily access it now, but is there one spot in the neighborhood that comes to mind that you still think about a lot?
Well, actually, the spot that would be in my mind left before the NGA, because originally, the street west of us was Jefferson. And so when they put Parnell through, then our corner was gone. When Parnell took buildings out that were on Jefferson. Jefferson now, I think, somewhere near our street, near North Market, Jefferson was dead end up there, and then you have to turn and go either east or west. So, and I say that corner because our church, the church that I was a member of, was on that corner. So we could walk to church just down. And people came from, you know, if there was a morning service, and especially as teenagers or whatever, they could walk, my friends could walk down to our house from church. So that would be the spot. And like I say, it's been gone for a long time. Because Jefferson and North Mark and the
Long Ways. What was the
I'm sorry.
Okay. I was saying, what was the name of the church?
At that time, it was called Community Temple. It's part of the Churches of God in Christ. And I am still a member. It has moved, let's see, where did we go? At least twice, and they finally built a structure, a new building. And so, you know, over the years, I've been a member there, so better than 50 years.
The one other question I had, totally off the wall, Carr Square Village is kind of contrasted with Pruitt-Igoe sometimes just because it's still standing and it became one of the first tenant-owned public housing projects in the country, not just in the city. But did you know anybody who lived there, you know, when it was first established or subsequent to that?
Very much so. My grandparents were, I don't know whether the first tenants, but very early tenants in Carr Square. And I think they lived at more than one location. And then I do have a first cousin whose family also, but my mother's brother and his family lived in Carr Square Village. And I didn't hear any of the negative things that you heard about Pruitt and whatever. I don't know what the Carr Square, I think there's still a Carr Square neighborhood. I don't know if there are people, you know, if their housing area is still being utilized or not. But they spent some time in Carr Square. And so we knew other people that lived, you know, I didn't know them personally, but neighbors or whatever of them did live successfully. In my opinion, successfully in Carr Square. But I think they were only two stories. And then even if it was a two-story unit, there was the same people. You just had an upstairs. I don't think there was any place where there were people over you. There was a different family. And I'm sure that made a big difference.
Yeah, I've driven past the area now and the buildings still look really good. Like they've been well maintained. The whole block looks pretty well maintained.
Right. It was much bigger than originally, I believe. It took up a lot more space, I think.
I believe they're expanding it now, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right. So.
Tanya, that's really all the questions I have. Do you have any more?
Just a couple more. I wanted to know if there was anything else you wanted to share with us or that you wanted us to know.
About my great city. And actually, I do like St. Louis. I stayed here most of my life. The only other thing, and I don't know, it doesn't have anything specifically to do with this, but to the neighborhood leaving, that it started a long time before NGA. The city had come up with all kinds of proposals that threatened the neighbors that lived in that area. And I remember one, and this is kind of funny now I think about it, and when I don't remember who the mayor was, but there was a proposal at one time to put a golf course in the area so that people coming from out of town didn't have to go all the way to the county or whatever. And I remember my mother being very upset about it. She was alive at that time. And she told me they're gonna put a golf course. And I remember saying to her, no, they're not. And if they do, I'm going to have an antebellum dress on. I'm going to be selling lemonade on the golf course. And I just, of course, it failed and it didn't happen. But, you know, so it was, you know, people had kind of gotten worn down with something else is coming. And you're in the way, whatever it is. So by the time they needed it for the NGA, my parents were both deceased and I had moved back into our home. And so I think that was another incentive to say, not again. Mm-hmm. Right. Other than that, I can't think of anything specific. You know, it was a fun time. We enjoyed our neighbors. I did think of one thing, and I don't even know, this was in the very early years that we owned the house. There was a blind couple that lived in the neighborhood and they rode the buses or streetcars, whatever they were. But we looked forward, we would hear them come home every evening because most of the streets, most of the houses had those metal fences. And that's how they came down the street. They would throw the cane against the fence, you know, counting down, and we knew that they were home you know, and I don't know why that came back to me after all these years, but I thought that was so neat as a kid that they could, you know, go wherever they wanted. They worked, and every day they came back and we'd hear this ting, ting, tinking along as they went home. And, you know, so then it was that type of neighborhood where everybody seemed to know everybody. You know, who was married, who was single, who was dating. There was a lady that lived across the street from her, you know, that when I was a kid, and she had suitors that came to pick her up, and, you know, that everybody knew everybody. So you do, you know, doesn't seem to that there's a neighborhood like that anymore. People don't even know each other, let alone what they're doing. So that I missed. And it was very pleasant growing up in that type of area.
Did you have any questions for us?
Are you researching, or what's going to happen to all this information?
Yeah, so we are creating, Jim, is it only like a 15-minute documentary?
I believe 15 minutes is what Dr. Kellen said during our most recent class period. I'm sure she'd be fine if we went over with that, though, and we're getting all this great material, so it's, you know, not outside the realm of possibility.
Okay. Will I get to see it when it's finished?
I hope so.
If at all possible, yeah, we would like to, you know, make that happen for people that we've interviewed. I will say the interviews, I guess, are going to be kind of held separately than the actual documentary projects, because our whole class is doing interviews like this. Mm-hmm. It's not just us. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that those will all be part of the same oral history project, but then everybody in the class will be able to draw on them if they find something that they can use for their film. But I believe the Griot Museum is probably going to take most of that, most of the finished product. Okay. When it's done.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. So I guess there will be two different projects. We'll be using it for our docu, and then the Griot will be using it just as a collection of oral histories.
Okay. All right. Very good. Not often that you think you're going to be recorded as part of history. So
a lot of people realize too late that's something that, you know, we ought to take care of. There's a project where I served in Tennessee that mainly took people's recollections down at a nursing home nearby, and I'm glad those got preserved at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Right. Excuse me. My daughter's attempting to do that for our family, but, you know, you do a little while and then you forget, and then you put it off because my mother, I said she was one of 12, and they're all deceased. And the next generation, I'm the elder. So she's saying, okay, if you're gone, you know, even right now, we start to think of things, there's nobody for me to, you know, call and say, am I right? Is that right? You know, or things that, you know, family members, the elders, that they'll have a name, but they won't have anything else to connect them. Or, you know, so I certainly understand. And it's really neat when you find some of this stuff too. We have found a few. My father would kind of like photography, so we found a few things of his that are really neat. And one of my brothers, when video cameras first came out, had a video camera, and we found one of those from holidays. You know, he would bring the camera at holidays. And I was really excited we had one, because my mother always prayed this long prayer over all of us at Thanksgiving. And that's what the subject was on the outside, Thanksgiving, whatever. And I thought, oh, golly, I'll get to hear Mom pray again. So, yeah, it can be really worthwhile to have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's incredibly important.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate being with us.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're more than welcome. Enjoy.
You too.
Okay. All right. Wait, I have one more question. Are you St. Louisans?
Yes, born and raised.
Okay. All right.
I grew up across the river in St. Clair County, but made it into the city pretty often when I was younger. And I just moved to University City right when I started grad school. school this past August.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's close enough.
We're pretty close to Del Mar.
All right, very good. Well, you guys have a great day. Great week.
You as well.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.